It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
This is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, with, of course, my co-host Dan Berger. Daniel,
how are you, sir?
I'm good. And today we're featuring Jake Fetzer. His family, of course, from Fetzer Vineyards. Now he's got Masut Vineyard and Winery. Jake, great to meet you, man. I can't believe you haven't been in the past, but it's an honor to have you here.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here.
So we got to start with all this. The Fetzer name is iconic in wine country. I'm looking at this family timeline, 1953. Barney and Kathleen Fetzer, they moved to Mendocino County, 68, for God's sake. Fetzer Vineyards is established. But it was the first vintage, I guess, was 91?
No, that's when our family had sold the brand, actually.
Oh, okay. So when was the first vintage? 68?
68, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. According to my dad, my grandfather always made wine, but that was kind of the first commercial vintage.
Wow.
Barney Fetzer was an iconic character in the industry, partially because he was so successful as a logging executive. He came up here to be a logger. And when he got involved in wine, it really was kind of, he was the only one up there who cared anything about wine at all. And
really?
Mendocino County didn't really
have.
Well,
be careful now. Be careful.
Well, there were a few people up there.
I need to remind everyone, Mendocino County is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's pretty much Mendocino, yeah. And Barney was really very inventive and very creative. He had a lot of ideas about how to promote wine as a serious agricultural enterprise. And he was buying grapes from people, and he hired some people who were very savvy, and they began to put the word out, we're not buying anything. We're buying only the good stuff. And so the quality of the stuff that was coming out of Mendocino County at the time was somewhat hit and miss, but when Barney got involved and some other people got involved, including Paul Dolan, who he had hired, Mendocino County fruit suddenly became really valuable. And there was a point at which about 90% of Mendocino County fruit was growing for wineries in other regions. People in other counties were buying all 90% of Mendocino County's grapes. Now it's about 75% today.
Yeah, it's big. It's a big percentage.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And how many, any idea, ballpark figure, how many wineries are now in Mendocino County making wine?
I have no clue. If I had to take a guess, I would say there are at least 100.
Really?
I would say.
Yeah, and a lot of those are in the Anderson Valley area.
A lot
of the more vineyard production is on the other side of the hill where I come from, and there's not a lot of wineries over there. So,
well, there's Redwood Valley is the warmer of the two major regions, and Potter Valley is on the other side, which is just on the eastern side of Redwood Valley. And the eastern edge is elevated. It's got about, a couple of hundred more feet, or maybe 300 or 400 more feet, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, there's a bench.
Yeah, so you get a cooler effect. Riesling is actually grown up there on the bench called Potter Valley. The Redwood Valley is not really suited for cold climate grapes. But where Masut is located, you've got some interesting soils and weather types, because it's not only is it elevated between 1,000 and 3,000 feet, but you also have some really creative people putting in clones of Pinot Noir that really work with the cold climate. So it's a lot of fun to see it.
So, Jake, you and Ben, I assume your brother?
Yeah, I take all the credit, and
he does all
the work.
Yeah, okay. You guys are third-generation vintners now with Masut.
Yep.
But the Fetzer thing, which the brand was sold in 91, which I had no idea because I didn't realize it was that long ago, but there's still Fetzer wine being made, right?
Lots of it.
Did you sell to who?
Well, our family sold to Brown Forman Corporation, which was the Jack Daniels maker.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was recently sold to Conche Toro Winery, and they're
Conche Toro from Argentina.
Chile.
Chile. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. And they've got plans to really expand. It's been these plans are in the works. I visited the winery a year ago, and they really have some exciting projects in mind. But so far, we haven't seen very many of them, but they're really moving fast.
Yeah, they seem to be putting a lot of effort into the winemaking, and so I think good things to come on that front.
But. All right, so Masut, M-A-S-U-T, Vineyard and Winery. It says here on your card, proprietor and winemaker.
Well, I mean, there's only a couple of us in the company, but I got to take a big title, so.
Sure, why not? I think I have that proprietor and winemaker on my KSRO card, just for the hell of it, why not? So talk about Masut. It started, what, 2009?
Well, yeah, I mean, I could take you back a little bit. So my grandfather, Barney Fetzer, moved from Nebraska, met my grandmother, Kathleen, and they had 11 kids, and so it was a big family, a lot of free labor, and I think my grandfather needed a place for him to kind of run wild, and there was a perfect place out in Redwood Valley on the western side, and so all these kids grew up on the land, and just for a quick briefing, it was Johnny, Kathy, Joey, Jimmy, Patty, Mary, Bobby, Diana, Richard, Teresa, and Danny.
Wow. And, very well done, sir.
Yeah, and my grandmother would say it fast, or she would just call them by numbers. And so my dad's number was 7. But they were a big family. They grew up, you know, in the countryside. They had animals, and they really learned the farming from a lot of the locals initially, the Barra family, some of Augie Solomon, some of these Italian guys were teaching my grandfather the ropes. He started Fetzer Vineyards, and, you know, very quickly it became a big national brand.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of hard work. And my dad's position in the winery was a good one. He was in farming. He was in charge of all the farming. He bought all the grapes. So as a kid, I was, you know, in his pickup from Seattle all the way down to, you know, Southern California. And he was buying grapes from some of these great vineyards like Bien Nacido and up north here in Mendocino County was obviously the focus. But my brother and I grew up in that really neat environment. When I was going to school, there was 250 employees coming in, and which was great because at baseball season when I needed to sell candy, I could do it quick. You know, I just go into the office. And but it really became this big company that I think brought the family a little bit away from their roots, which was farming and the land and they really liked, especially my father, he liked to work with his hands. He was a very humble guy. So the family decided that it was better to sell the brand, and they retained all the vineyards. So they kept farming about 1,000 or over 1,000 acres of vineyard. And at the same time, my dad and my mother and my brother and I started this new project called Masut. And my father got the name.
My next question, where'd the name come from?
So there, Masut was a place. It was a former Native American Indian settlement that my father came across this map. It was a UC Berkeley map in like the 1900s. And it was the closest place to our new project, this vineyard. So he decided to name it Masut, which means dark, rich earth. And he really had no intention of getting back into the wine business. He loved farming, so he was a guy that liked to maybe challenge the status quo a little bit. He loved to do things a little differently, and a lot of people did not want him to plant Pinot Noir in this area because they just said, "Oh, you can't do it. It's not good." And so it really, really quickly became a challenge. And he liked challenges, and he trained my brother and I to enjoy a challenge, too. And so we planted the vineyards, and the property is about 1,200 acres, but we only grow about 35 acres. So we really chose the best spots on the property for these vineyards.
And Dan, why were people telling his dad not to, you can't grow Pinot Noir?
The history of Mendocino County is that it's an area that really wasn't very well researched by places like UC Davis and Fresno State. They didn't research as carefully because there were so few growers up there. They spent their time basically looking at older regions. They started with Livermore Valley, and then they went to the Santa Barbara, and then they went to Napa and Sonoma. But by the time Mendocino became a serious grape grower, an awful lot of homework had been done, and this area was known to grow extremely good Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir was unknown. And so they didn't spend any time deciding, well, this is better for that, and this is better for that. So they just sort of were on their own. And a lot of Mendocino County farms today go back to the old Italian farmers that were in the area to begin with. And a lot of Zinfandel was planted there. And Mendocino still to this day makes fabulous Zinfandel. We have an older one with us today. We're going to try this 1980 Zinfandel from Fetzer. Jake brought a whole bunch of these old Cabernets from Fetzer, and we've got a 74 from my cellar.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is often generalized about Mendocino is you have the Anderson Valley and then you have the Inland Valley. But, you know, a lot of things that people don't realize that you can fit Sonoma and Napa County and maybe even Lake County inside of Mendocino County. It's a big county.
Yeah.
And very diverse. And so, you know, so we planted this vineyard, but we were outside of any real appellation. And so we decided to petition for a new appellation on this western side of Redwood Valley.
Eagle Peak.
Eagle Peak, yeah.
And it's now an AVA.
It's an official AVA as of 2014.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much more to talk about. Jake Fetzer is here from Massoot. We've got some classic old Fetzer stuff. First, Dan, let's talk about this Chardonnay that Jake brought in. And Jake, tell us, what year is this?
So this is our first release.
This is Massoot.
Massoot, yeah. We're better known for Pinot Noir, but we have a small acre of Chardonnay on the ranch where we grow. It's all dry farmed at high elevation, so it's more of an experiment, kind of fun, you know. Got to experiment. So,
this is lovely, in my opinion.
Yeah, used barrels, so there's not a lot of oak. What I like about
the fruit, it's very dry.
And it's dry farmed, which means that there's no fruit, no water put into the ground to increase the tonnages.
Keep going.
The wine is more delicate than I would have expected. Usually, a first release, there'll be a little bit more intensity, but I love the delicacy of this style.
It
of
is
wine.
Delicate. It's beautiful. I swear.
Nice fruit, and I think it's got a nice future for about 3 years. So how's this 74 doing?
It might be a bad cork.
Oh, I think we have a bad cork. It's all cloudy and done. Okay, this is finished.
This is Dan's 1974.
Yeah. So we'll have a couple of more bottles of this. So.
We got to check his cellar conditions because this is...
Yeah, this is more like sherry, so let's not worry about that.
It looks like a rosé or a sherry, yeah.
Well,
all right.
let's get to another wine.
For 74.
The 74 that we had last month was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
All
right.
Dan,
all right.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, sure. So, you know, we can jump into either the 1978 Fetzer or...
The 78 is a Zinfandel, so that would be probably worth... you got a Cabernet.
But we also have a Cole Ranch in Mendocino Cabernet from 1978, which would be kind of fun, too.
Let's try that. Yeah.
Let's do this one.
Again, our guest is Jake Fetzer. His family had started Fetzer Vineyards, whatever you want.
That's better color.
He and his brother Ben now are third-generation vintners, and they have Massoot Vineyard and Winery, M-A-S-U-T, in Mendocino County. And by the way, dude, I thank you for coming down from Mendo. And he goes to San Francisco to do stuff, and then as he drives back to Mendocino, he listens to this radio program. So
there you go.
Very happy.
With a strong signal, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, our 1350 AM signal goes East Bay, San Francisco, all
over.
Steve,
what Jake is pouring for you right now is a wine that is so old that nobody has any left in their cellar except Jake, probably. This is a truly wonderful example of Cabernet as it used to be made in the 80s.
The nose is amazing.
It's got bell pepper. It's got some wild thyme. It's a 79 Cole Ranch, but the acid is what kept it together. It's in superb shape. The dried herbs, almost a tarragon and thyme characteristic in the aroma. Just gorgeous wine. A little bit of black olive.
Oh, man. Yeah, the aroma is like...
It's complex. You just
exactly.
can't name
There's
one
There's all
thing.
Sorts of stuff going
yeah,
on here.
That's right. A whole panoply of things.
Jake, talk about this one.
Well, I was about 2 years from being born, so what I can remember was a little foggy. But no, this is a beautiful wine. I've been tasting it around the country, actually, with at certain restaurants as kind of a fun thing to showcase what Mendocino wines can do. And, you know, my uncle Paul Dolan was behind this wine. I know he spent a lot of time up at the Cole Ranch. It's also the smallest appellation in the country.
It's 8 acres.
Really? Wow. Dan?
Well, let's just say that in today's world, no one would be so crazy as to put Cabernet in Cole Ranch. It's considered a cool enough region to grow and ripen Riesling. So Cabernet doesn't belong up there. But it really does if you think of the style of wine that we were making in the 80s. This is a wine that was probably planted. I'm guessing these vines were planted in 70. So this was a time when this was a good region for Cabernet. Today's Cabernets are bolder, richer, full of body, full of richness, full of alcohol. This is 12.8. Today's wines are 15.8.
That's low.
This is a balanced wine. And if you put this with a steak, you would find out how good the steak is, as well as the
wine. I will
wine.
Say I like the nose, the aroma, a little better than the actual taste.
To me, the taste is fabulous because it's got plenty of acid in the mid palate, where you start to, you walk into a steakhouse and order a filet mignon or a porterhouse, you want something like this.
Mike,
now,
will
this
you bring a filet mignon in, please?
Bottled. The next one is 78, estate bottled.
Okay, this is
the next one coming up.
All right, hold on. We're going to have to take our break, but this is 78 or 76.
That one's 79, which is a rainy year. So it was a cold and rainy year, and still the wine comes up with all these nuances of truffles, black truffles, and that sort of thing.
It's got a weird color when you tip the glass.
Well, these things do
lose
color.
But it's old, yeah.
But
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. The nose killed me. It was wonderful.
Believe me when I say you need a steak with it. That's why this wine was made.
Mike, filet mignon, please bring it in.
Charred, medium rare.
Are any of these Fetzer wines available anywhere?
I've got a few of them in my cellar. I tried to deplete as many as I could in high school.
I'm sure you did, sir.
It was the quickest. Yeah, so anyway.
So the new owners of Fetzer have none of this? Even in their
possible.
Library?
It's possible. I know that... when our family sold the winery, they split up a lot of the library between the family, and I got a big family. So everybody got a little peppering of this and that. But
this 78 is another example of California, but from a different region, broader and richer, actually. So if you didn't get any of that, Jake will pour you some. This is really a much more... personality-driven wine in today's world. This has a modernistic approach to the fruit. And when you smell it and taste it, you'll realize what I'm talking about.
And again, this is a 78. We just tried the 79. Don't forget, you can go to calwinecountry.com or any place that fine podcasts are offered and hear every episode of California Wine Country.
And you can subscribe.
If you subscribe... It's cool. It's free, and you get all the episodes into your phone or your computer or whatever. CalWineCountry.com. Today, of course, with Dan Berger, my co-host, we're featuring Jake Fetzer from the iconic Fetzer family for so many years here in the North Bay, Mendocino County. And now third-generation vintners, Jake and his brother Ben Fetzer. And now they have Masut, M-A-S-U-T, Vineyard and Winery. We've been tasting some old Fetzer stuff. Where are we now, guys?
Now we have the 2016 Masut Pinot Noir. It's Masut Vineyard and Winery. It is Jake's property with his brother. The location is what tells part of the tale. It's a high-altitude ranch. It does not have the fog. It doesn't have the problems of fog. It has more the altitude, and the altitude gives you cool climate. So a little bit more about this. Go for it.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to how Masut started, we were growing grapes early 2000s, and we actually bumped into a guy named Greg LaFollette. I don't know if you're familiar with him, Steve.
He's been on the show.
Yes, just yesterday. He wasn't in yesterday, but he's been on a few times. And yesterday, with Mike Haney from Sonoma County Vintners, we had...
Come on, spit it out.
LaFollette.
No, but he was talking about LaFollette or LaFollette.
Yeah. So we were selling grapes. Again, my father, he made a little wine for himself every year, but it was 2005, and I said, heck, why don't I shoot him an email and see if he's interested in buying any fruit? And he returned a call, and he said, yeah, I'll come up and check out the vineyard. And he goes, yeah, this is a really cool spot. You know, the only thing is maybe we should check out a different pruning style. And I go, you know what, why not try a little bit of something? And so I told my dad, I said, you know, I got the superstar guy up at the vineyard named Greg LaFollette. And he goes, oh, I want to meet him.
Oh, it was Hugh Chappelle who was on yesterday.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we met him and we got all excited about doing some new things in the vineyard. And it wasn't about another 6 months later that my father passed away in a river rafting accident at the age of 50.
Oh, yeah. And I remember reading that.
Yeah. He had just turned 50 and he wanted to do something fun up at our property in Round Valley, and ended up not being a good deal. And my brother and I, we were in our early 20s. And so we... You know, we had to kind of collect ourselves a little bit, but Greg was there, and he became a mentor for us with growing grapes, and was really connected the dots for me that great wine is really made in the vineyard, whether it's the pruning, the thinning, everything that gets up to that point before harvest, and that perfect day of picking grapes, because you're dealing with all those parameters once you've picked the fruit. And my brother and I had this old barn up on the hill that my father built. And we were really interested in continuing the family legacy because, you know, we grew up at this big winery and everything was about family. You know, everything we did, it was like, hey, you know, our grandfather laid this foundation for us. You know, now we're all on our own. Our father had laid this foundation for us. And so we put together kind of a wacky spreadsheet, and we said, hey, Mom, what do you think about, you know, pouring a little concrete up here and making a little wine? And she goes, I support you guys 100%. So we did it. We didn't go to school to make wine. We were what we call homeschooled. You know, the first wine we made, we were maybe 10. We were over actually at our Uncle Paul Dolan's house. You got all the cousins together, you know, you picked grapes and you made the wine. And then later in like 7th and 8th grade, we did a Sangiovese Cabernet blend with a little Viognier.
Wow.
And for us, it's all about that smell. You know, it's like it's nostalgic at harvest. And we wanted to continue the family business. However we could do it, we wanted to, you know, our dad's dream of planting Pinot Noir in this really different area. We wanted to continue it because it made us feel like we had purpose. And so we started making wine, and people liked it, and we liked it. You know, our dad always had two rules when you get into the wine business. You better like your product, and you better be able to drink half your production in case sales go south. So we could do both of those still. And but no, we really wanted to focus on estate Pinot Noir, Pinot Noir, however you want to call it. And so 2009 was our first vintage, and our focus is estate Pinot Noir. We grow 7 different clones. It's about 35 acres. We don't drink quite half our production, but we're on our way.
Now, we're talking 1,200-acre Massoot property, right?
Right, but not very many acres planted.
Okay.
Yeah, he really wanted to just grow it on these certain select parts of the property.
But you guys were instrumental in getting that new AVA in Mendocino County, Eagle Peak.
Yeah, we really spearheaded it and did a lot of the studying. And the Eagle Peak appellation it's a really unique appellation. It's borders are defined by the headwaters of the Russian River on the western tributaries.
Right.
So if you go any farther north, you're in the Eel River drainage. You go to the west, you're in the Big River drainage. If you go to the southwest, you're in the Navarro and so on. So
wow.
The water's clean up there. I don't know what it's like down here in Santa Rosa.
Well, that's why we drink wine. We don't want to know ourselves. I'm just getting some breaking news that I want to run down to everyone. Guy Fieri, my dear friend, who was in the studio with us not long ago. I've known him since 96 when I used to work with him on all the radio commercials for Johnny Garlics. He just got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. And his friend Matthew McConaughey was with him. We were thinking it would be Sammy Hagar because he's best friends with Sammy Hagar. But Guy Fieri, first Santa Rosan, as far as we know, to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Congrats, Guido. We love you. Also, the other breaking news, Mike DeWald has shaved his playoff beard now that the Sharks are out. And he looks like he's 12. So I just wanted to run all that down. This is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. It's 5:45. Where are we now, guys? Did we talk enough about this?
Well, let me give you a quick backgrounder, because it's important that you get the picture of where this is all coming from. One of the key people here is Paul Dolan, mm-hmm. who came on board.
Whose name we've heard many times.
Right.
He's your uncle, right?
Yeah, he's married to one of my aunts.
Wow.
Paul is an iconic character. When I was with the Los Angeles Times, I named him Winemaker of the Year in 1990.
Wow.
And Paul was so kind that when he was asked to do the interview with me to do the story that I was going to write on his being named Winemaker of the Year, he volunteered. He said, look, I can't take the credit. I got to bring Dennis Martin with me. So Dennis Martin came along for the luncheon.
Now, Dennis Martin...
Dennis
that
Martin
name,
passed
I don't
away
know.
About 2 years ago, and or maybe a year or so ago. I'm not sure. It was fairly recent. But Dennis was the heart and soul of what Paul Dolan put in place in 88 or 89, maybe. And then by 1990, Dennis Martin and Paul Dolan as a team made some of the most amazing wines in the history of the state. And without any recognition.
With what wineries?
Fetzer. It was all Fetzer wine.
There you go. You're your uncle. I get it.
So with Paul at the helm and Denny making some of the critical decisions, and I'll tell you, I still have a couple of bottles of Dennis Martin's fanciful Pinot Noirs from Santa Barbara County. And those are interesting wines. Because
were they both winemakers?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. They're talented people. And Dennis was a great, great guy. So was Paul. Paul's still with us, thank goodness. We have a lot of history behind us. So this wine is really a reflection of what those guys pioneered. And when you look at the statistical sheet that they gave us, we have all these different clones listed here. Now, that's a lot of geek stuff we don't want to put on the air. But these clones represent decision-making that started back in the 80s. And here we have a wine. This is the 2016 Massoot Pinot Noir. It's a glorious wine. It does not have the strong oak flavor that you would get in some wineries. That's to its great credit because the wine is really – look, your glass is empty. I'll tell you. That's an example.
Well, no, I poured it in the dump cup. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's a Chardonnay guy.
I'm just tasting it.
Right. But this is really very, very quality wine, and I think the secret is cooler climate, great clones, and a restraint in the winemaking process. Really wonderful wine.
Nice. What year is this?
2016.
Yeah. Okay. What's new and coming up for Massoot Vineyard and Winery, Jake?
Well, I think, we want to be proponents of Mendocino County. We want to continue to give it the recognition it deserves. There's so many different great small appellations up there that, we've always sold grapes out of. We've always let somebody else market us in a way. Anytime you sell your grapes to another winery, they get to market Mendocino. We're the ones that live there, so we got to do it ourselves.
But, my gut feeling is, as far as wine country, Sonoma County, Napa County, wine in Mendocino gets a little ignored. And
well,
I don't think it should be.
Part of that is the fact that roughly 75% of the fruit that's grown there is going outside the county to wineries elsewhere.
Yeah,
part of it. The other part of it is, with a place like Eagle Peak, you got one winery in the entire Appalachian, and that's Massoot.
Yeah, and so we've been really promoting the area not only for ourselves, but we have a new neighbor, Dan Costa, bought a vineyard next to us, and he's going to be
my friend Dan. Yeah. Costa Brown, man.
He's our neighbor now, which is great. We need more people like that in the area. But as far as county-wide, there may be a project in the works that we work outside our estate and do some sub-Appalachian wines. For me, it's just I love Mendocino. I'm a Mendocino boy through and through.
Yeah.
And it's my home.
I love Mendo, too. I don't get up there as much as I used to, but I love it. Oh, my dear friend and brother from another mother, Christopher DiMatteo. I was talking about Guy Fieri getting his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I said, as far as I know, he's the only Santa Rosan. Well, no, of course I forgot about this. Chris says Charles Schulz and Snoopy both have stars on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood. So
I noticed that in my email as well, and I was thinking, gee, that's not exactly the star we're thinking about.
But well, Guy Fieri reminds me of Snoopy, so I, whatever. It's all cool. Congrats to my friend Guido, who got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. Jake Fetzer is with us from the Fetzer family, the iconic wine folks and farmers and such here in the north area, Mendocino County. And he and his brother Ben now have Massoot Vineyard and Winery in Mendocino. Let me read this from the website, which, by the way, is massoot.com. It's M-A-S-U-T. Let me quote this. My brother Ben and I established the Massoot Winery in 2009. Our father, Bobby Fetzer, one of Mendocino County's most experienced grape growers, bought the Massoot Ranch in 1994. Intrigued with a hillside site of fast-draining soil, desirable sun exposure, and marine-influenced winds. And he chose Pinot for this special location. And now you guys are doing both a little Chard and a lot of Pinot, right?
We're just playing with Chard. We got to just a,
well,
just
you're
a
playing dump. Well, yeah. Let me just say. You didn't happen to bring another bottle, did you?
Did you have that big of a headache?
No, my headache's gone, thanks to you. Oh, okay. But and I was going to make some chicken tonight. Yeah. I was thinking I could.
Hey, it's a great marinade if you don't drink it.
So go on.
What do you want me to go on about?
Whatever the hell I was talking about.
I'll jump.
Somebody
I'll,
go on.
I can jump right in on this. Going way back, when Gallo had their advertisements years ago, Napa and Mendocino, and Napa, Sonoma, Mendocino, Sonapa, Noma, and the whole thing, most people didn't recognize even where Mendocino County was. Today it's on the map. Everybody knows where it is. The thing about it is that it suffers in one regard, and it's not a day trip from San Francisco. The problem is you can't drive up, see some tasting rooms, and go home. I mean, you could. You'd be home at midnight. So the real question is, what do you do? The best thing to do is to find out those little properties, like Massoud, visit, and then stay at a B&B or a VRBO or whatever, and enjoy the fact that Mendocino County is not a tourist haven. It's a wonderful place to visit. I love the entire county. I'm a part-time resident of Mendocino County. I just adore it. I think it's fabulous.
And I love it, too.
And it's really close to Santa Rosa. It's not a day trip from San Francisco, but it's a day trip from Sonoma. So.
But, you know, when I go up there, I do love staying at various places. Yeah. My bands used to play at the Casper Inn all the time. I loved it up there, and we'd always stay in motels or hotels in Mendocino. Yeah, it's a great place.
Yeah,
man.
And you got the coast, and you got the inland. And you got it's wonderful to visit. The drive from Boonville to Elk is definitely worth doing one time in your
one
life.
One time, yeah, one time.
I've done it. Yeah, it's great.
So the cool thing about it is you've got Fort Bragg, Mendocino, and in Fort Bragg is really neat because you have this fishing industry there.
Yeah.
My wife actually. Her family's Kaito Fisheries, and they're old school Sicilians, and it's really neat to see that family business thriving and all the fishing things that are still going on up there. So you feel like you're in a different kind of a quiet little.
Well, it's a time warp.
Yeah,
I mean, Mendocino County is not like,
but it's not that far.
No, it's an hour away from here. And I think the other thing, too, is that it's becoming a real haven for people who like Pinot. Pinot Noir has always been behind the eight ball because of the way it is so intransigent in the vineyard. But, boy, I'll tell you, some of the best Pinot Noirs I've tasted over the last few years are Mendocino County. We had a 2011 Witching Stick Pinot Noir the other day that blew me away.
Really?
Absolutely. Van Williamson up there at Witching Stick is doing a fabulous job. So I'm really excited about what's going on up there. There's a Pinot Noir festival. It's associated with Wine Song. The Wine Song is the
great event.
The great event that happens on the Mendocino coast in early September every year. Get your tickets early because this is going to sell out. It's a fabulous event, and the Pinot Noir thing is connected to it.
You get the Crab Festival. You got all kinds of cool things.
Yeah, yeah. Mendocino County's happening. And I certainly appreciate, Jake, that you came down.
Well, you owe me.
Oh, no problem. I'll be up there. We'll hang, man.
You got it. You got
it. Jake Fetzer from the iconic Fetzer family, and now with his brother Ben, Massoud, a vineyard and winery, M-A-S-U-T, Massoud.com. Thanks, man, so much.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you guys very much.
All right, and Dan Berger, we'll see you next week.
Pleasure.
For decades, Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa has been providing Sonoma County with an unmatched selection of the finest wines, beers, and spirits. With everyday low prices and the best product knowledge around, Bottle Barn is the best place to find the most amazing deals in wine country. In fact, Bottle Barn is where wine country buys their wine. Every week on The Drive, when I ask winery owners, vintners, and winemakers where listeners can buy their wines, they say Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. And the prices are always the lowest anywhere, trust me. If you're not shopping at Bottle Barn, you're missing out on the best deals, not only on wine, but every kind of beer and spirits. Check out their craft beer section. Wow. And remember, Bottle Barn can ship wine to most states. Go to bottlebarn.com for details and all the great specials every week.